Kind Father, we love you, we bless you, we magnify you. We thank you for another day, another opportunity, another time, another chance to come before your presence, to love you, to hear from you, to worship with you, God. We ask you to speak to us, speak through me like never before. Let your Holy Spirit reign and make himself manifest inside my life, inside my heart, inside my lips, inside my mind. God, let somebody be touched, let somebody be encouraged, let somebody be enlightened, and let them know that it is okay, that you are going to make things right. You didn't put them down here for no ill reason, but you brought them here for this place, for this moment, for this moment in time. God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In your mighty Son's Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining with us again as we continue on with the series we started last week entitled Anxious for Nothing. And last week we talked about how to praise our way through our anxiety and how to praise our way through the things that are tying us down. This week we're going to talk about how to pray your way through your anxiety, how to pray your way through everything that is attacking you. A lot of the times the attacks that we get are not attacks that we see. They're attacks of the enemy. They're attacks from the enemy. They're attacks that come to attack your mind. And if the enemy can get your mind in check or attack your mind, he can stop everything that you do. He can stop your progress. If he can attack your mind, he can stop the progress and your future and your destiny that God has placed in store of you. So let's not let the enemy attack our mind, understand where these attacks are coming from and why they are happening, and a way of escape. God is in everything that that the enemy puts in our way. God has always provided a way of escape, and we're going to talk about prayer and how prayer can help us escape the anxiety that all of us feel from time to time, from day to day, from year to year. Okay, in the Word of God, it says in Philippians 4:4-7, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And here's the thing, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank God for his word. So we talked about this. We read this scripture last week as well, that in everything, in every situation, with prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, you make your, present your request to God, because he's waiting for you to hear from you. And a lot of times we think that since we come to know God, or if we're in church and we're a child of God, or you have a friend that's a child of God, or you do good things, you think, well, I do good things, bad things shouldn't happen to me because I'm a good person, or bad things shouldn't happen to me because I'm saved, or bad things shouldn't happen to me because I've accepted Christ into my heart, or I shouldn't feel this way because I've accepted Christ into my heart. So I feel ashamed to feel ashamed. Oh, I feel ashamed to be worried. But and you think, oh my God, I've sinned because I'm fearful, or I've sinned because I've been in churches where they say, if you're worried, you don't have faith. Or I've been to services and people preach to me and say, if I'm worried about this thing, if I don't believe it enough, if I don't name it and claim it, I don't have faith. And because I named it and claimed it and it didn't happen when I thought it was going to happen, I must be wrong. I must have not have faith, or I must have sinned. Well, let me tell you, the anxiety is not a sin to feel anxious. It's a sin of how you take it and what you do with it. Because the enemy, like I said previously, the enemy attacks us through our mind. And one of the ways he attacks us is through our feelings and through our emotions. And he wants us to get us to act or react out of our emotions. Let me go back. Let me tell you. So it's not a sin to feel anxious, because it happens to all of us. It happened to Jesus. Even when in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he was to be crucified, he felt anxious. He felt worried. He felt, man, I got my disciples. I did what you called me to do. I performed miracles. I raised dead people from the dead. I gave people sight. I've taught. I showed my disciples how to live and how to love and how to perform miracles and cast out demons, and people bow down to you because of the ministry that I've done and the ministry that I work. I've even preached to Samaritans, and now they're preaching the good news of the gospel. But here I am, I'm about to approach this cross, and I have my three disciples, and they're not even praying with me. They're asleep. I'm all alone. I feel lonely. I feel all by myself. I feel depressed. God, if it's your will, just, I can't take it. I just can't take this. So Lord, if it's your will, take this from me. Jesus felt anxious, but he overcame that by speaking to God and says, nevertheless, if it's not my will, but let your will be done in my life. And we have to take the same approach. A lot of people say, and you hear it in a lot of churches and things people say when you go through tough times, it says, God will never put more on you than you can bear. I'm here to tell you that that's a lie, because God often allows things to happen to us that more than we able to bear by ourselves, because he wants us to depend on him. And let me tell you a little secret, because the thing is, if it's God only allows things that happen to you that you're able to bear, that you're able to handle by yourself or without any help or without any assistance from God or others, the world becomes revolved around you, because it's everything that you can handle. Here's the secret, it's not about you. And I hate to blow your cover, hate to blow your spot. This world does not revolve around you. So God often allows things to come upon our lives that are too unbearable for us to handle by ourselves, so that we need the help of others. We need the help of God more than anything, to depend on God to help us through this anxiety, to help us through the pressure and that you're feeling. So it's not a sin to feel anxious, because even Jesus felt anxious, but he didn't sin. So you can do the same. You cannot sin even when you feel anxious. It's not a sin to take in, or it's not a sin to be attacked by or feeling worried or fearing anxious about anything. But with prayer and supplication, you take that back to God. So if anxious or anxiety is not a sin, what is it? It's a signal. Anxiety is a signal that you need to pray. So if you're feeling worried, if you're feeling anxious about something, it's just not a sin, but it's a signal that you look, I need help. And it's okay not to be okay, because God is the one that can help you through. So it's okay to feel anxious, because it's a signal to let you know that it's time to pray. And here's the thing, if it's big enough, for you to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to worry about, to pray about. So I'm worried about going to the doctors. I'm worried about, I just got the sniffles, or I got the cough, or I have some symptoms and I need to go get checked out because I might think I might have this COVID, or my loved one might have this disease, or I worry about how to protect my children. God, you gave me these children, and then now they're trying to put them back in school, and I'm feeling worried either way, because I want them to interact and go to school, but then I don't want them to be sick, and I don't want them to carry the disease. And if they do carry the disease, maybe they may or may not be affected by it, but if they bring it back home to me or my parents or my loved ones, I might be affected, or my family might be affected. So it's a lot to worry about. So if you all have all of that to worry about, it's okay. It's okay, because it's a signal to pray about it. And go to the one that can answer that prayer. Because here's the thing. If it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. Because God's mind is like, who is man that God is so mindful for us? His mind is full of us. He's always praying, thinking about us. So if it's on, why? Because he loves us. So if it's on our mind, it's on God's heart. So if it's on... if it's okay for anxiety is a signal to pray about it, take it to God. It's okay. And here's the thing. You need to have a couple of scriptures because you think about it. Man, here I am getting attacked. I'm feeling anxious. I can't sleep. I lose weight. I can't eat. I'm worried about this. My hair is turning gray, or I'm balding, and things like that. And because I'm anxious and worried about it, you can have some scriptures that can help you. So no weapon that is formed against you shall be able to prosper. Here's the thing. The key about that scripture, key thing about that scripture is that the weapon will be formed. So if the weapon's going to form, it's going to be aimed at your direction. You just have to have faith enough to know that it's not going to prosper. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be attacked. It doesn't mean you're not going to have people hating on you. This does not mean you're going to be anxious. That's not going to mean you're going to want to try to, you not want to, but have lose sleep or worry or fret. But it's not going to overtake you, because you can take that to God in prayer. And what you do, you make your request made known to God, and He's there to hear for you. So, PK, how do I pray? Do I go to God and, you know, recite the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, you know, do all that? Yeah, that's good. You can have a nice formal prayer time in your closet, set aside time for you to pray, take time off of computer, take time off of the internet, off of social media, and set aside time to pray. But in every situation, there's sometimes you may not need that, you may not have the time or be able to remember everything that the protocol that of prayer sometimes that you hear. So sometimes you could just help God help. And it depends on your and the more familiar you get with God, the more familiar you can get with your prayer. Because God is our Father. And as any father and family member, we know we're open and available for our children to come to us, and our loved ones to come to us, and our family to come to us and make their requests known. Because let me break it down to you like this. If my wife needs something or wants something from me, she doesn't schedule time to meet with me. She doesn't send off a request and sends it through her intermediaries and sends up smoke signals and things like that. She just comes to me, "Babe, I was thinking, what if we, right? That's how, if we get comfortable, that's how God wants us to come to Him. God, I was thinking, you know this problem that I'm having that, you know, you already know it. I'm just bringing it to you. Help. Can you help me out with this?" My children do the same thing. Each one has their own special ways of communicating what they need from me. My son, Christian, may be the least communicative of the three. I might have to prod things out of him. But once he does, I get this information, he tells me what he wants. My daughter, she'll come out and blah, blah, you know, tell me, you know, text me, "I want this, I want that, I want that." And so, you know, it's funny, it's like, it's sometimes it's overload. But that's my daughter. I love her. And then the youngest, Ezra, he's like my wife. He barges right in the bathroom. I'm in my private time. I'm in my me and God time. Here comes Ezra. "Dad, mom says," or, "Dad, I want to get this. Can you give me this?" Or he'll text me, "Can you get me this?" And then he'll call, "Did you get my text? Why are you hanging up? Did you get my text? Why do you keep hanging up? Did you get my text? Why are you keep hanging up? I need this game. Dad, it's only $9. I'll give it back to you. I'll pay you out of my birthday money." So we can come to God this very same way. "Lord God, look, I know you might be busy. I know you might be preoccupied with, you know, this whole pandemic situation, but I need to make a choice. I'm about to make a decision. I've been offered two different things, and I want to make the one that's right." It's okay. You have that same relationship that we do with our family and our loved ones that you should, God has with you. It's okay. And that's how we pray. That's how we can overcome our anxiety. And that's how we can overcome the things that are bothering us. And any loving dad will never push our kids away for a long period of time. We might need time to think about it. We might need time to figure out how we're going to work out or either grant or not grant the petition that's been made, but we're not going to just like shun you. God never shuns us. We don't have to clean ourselves up. You just come to us, come to God just the way that you are. And just like with our Father, we can come to our Father just the way that he is if you have a good Father. But I know a good Father who's God. He's made a way for you. And think about this. When you're having what we call attack of the enemy, you're having an anxiety attack, and it's coming from the enemy, like you're worried about this, you're worried about that. And as I have a question. Who do you think the devil attacks? Does the devil attack those he already has? Does the devil attack those people that he already belong to him? Does the devil attack those that have nowhere to go? No, the devil attacks those that he fears. The devil attacks those that have destiny. The devil attacks those that are called by God, those that are have a calling on their life. The devil attacks those that have a purpose and knows what their purpose is, or may not even know, but know they're walking in the path towards their purpose. So he attacks everything that he feels threatened by. So if that means the devil's attacking me, that means I'm an enemy of the devil, and he's attacking me because he's afraid of me. So that should let you know, that should put you in good standing, because you know at the end of the day, the devil loses, and anybody on his side loses as well. So if the devil's attacking me, he must mean that he's fearful of me, and I'm not on his side. So if the devil's attacking me because I'm anxious about this or worried about that, I got God on my side. And with God on my side, he's greater than anything and everything in this world. And nothing the devil can do can harm me. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not grown. I'm not saying be all attitude and grown about it. But you can walk with boldness. You can walk with surety to know that you're walking in the will of God, and you're trying to, at least you're trying to. But God has your back, and God knows your story, and God knows where you're going, where he wants you to go. And you can walk with surety to know that whatever the enemy may put your way or might put on you or put before you, God has your back, and he's always provided a way of escape for you. So all you need to do is talk about praise. Praise confounds the mind of the enemy. But prayer just brings God into the picture and allows him to take control over everything that you're worried about or everything that you're anxious about. So those people that the enemy attacks are a threat to him, a threat to his end mission to bring down mankind. So he attacks those he's threatened by. So that if devils are threatened, attacking you, he's threatened by you. So walk in boldness and know that no enemy can befall God. No weapon can harm me. Can bring me down. It might hurt, it might prick, but it's not going to bring me down. In the end, I win. In the end, you win. That deserves a praise break right there. So, here's the thing. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and he may lift you up in due time. So if you come humbly before God, make your prayer petitions made known to him with thanksgiving and make supplications, God will lift you up in his time. It may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. That's an old cliche we say, God, back in the day. But it's so true. Sometimes God will raise you up above your circumstances, and he'll raise you up past your situations, and he'll bring an answer to questions that you've had, and it'll bring it all to fruition and bring it all to completion. So at the end, you're not just getting relief, but you're getting a story, and you're getting history behind it. And you'll have, so here's the thing. If you're getting a pressure, you're getting attacked, you want God to raise you up and you want him to attack, to save you now, but he waits until then to do it. What happens is God just not just gives you relief or release, but he brings you, gives you a reason as well. And what that means is that not only am I relieved from the pressure, or I have a release from the pressure, but now I have a reason why that pressure happened, and a reason why I had to go through that, and a reason why God was the answer to all that. Because here's the thing, that thing that you went through wasn't just for you, because I said it before, it's not about you. It's about him, and it's about what you can do to help others. So those things that you go through, when God brings you up out of it, he brings you up out of it with a testimony, so that you'll be able to tell others of God's goodness and God's grace and God's power and God's mercy in your life. I mean, we've been through divorce, we've been through deaths of a loved one, but God has brought us through and kept us. So when we come across somebody that's going through the same thing, God can keep them too, just the same way that God kept you. Amen? And what happens is, I've noticed there's a, what's called, psychologists call it a cycle of anxiety. A cycle of anxiety. You're confronted with a situation or an anxiety-producing event or situation that comes before you that leads to feelings of overwhelming, feelings of fear or worry. You have racing heart, or you have a sweating, or you're feeling just being overwhelmed. And the first thing you want to do is you want to avoid it. So you have the anxiety situation, and you go to avoidance. That's the first thing you want to do, because if you avoid it, you don't have to face it. How do we avoid it? We avoid it by skipping out on it, not responding, or even avoiding it by doing other things to take your mind off of it, like using drugs or alcohol or sex or going back to old ways, or just procrastinating it and procrastinating dealing with the situation or the feeling. And you feel like then that leads to the next one, which is short-term relief. Like, phew, wow, that threat was happening. I just avoided it. And now I'm good because it's a short-term, I feel relieved. But after a while, it just brings back to the cycle. And after a while, it just brings a long-term anxiety growth. And the longer you deal with avoiding situations, the more you're going to have to deal with it. And the more you have to deal with it, the more avoidance you're going to have to do to get away with or get back to that feeling of relief that you felt with the first time. So if I keep avoiding it, the situation and the circle becomes bigger, and just, you know, you're just stuck in a big circle that here's anxiety, there's a feeling, okay, and then we try to avoid it. Okay, so I can't just ignore it because now they know. So let me try just not doing something. Let me try alcohol. Let me try drugs. Let me try this. And you add more to your avoidance to get to that short-term relief, but it still brings back a long-term anxiety growth. God doesn't want you to walk in that fear. God doesn't want you to delve into that realm. He wants you to walk boldly into those anxiety feelings and just confront them a little at a time. So you're getting the anxious feelings. So sometimes, you know, the bill collectors are calling me, and the debt collectors are calling, and I just don't want to answer the phone anymore. You know, you keep trying to avoid it, but it doesn't make the problem go away. You're going to have to pick up the phone. Look, I don't have it. How hard was that? I'm not sure when I'm going to get it. Let's figure out a plan. A little more at a time. I can't promise you nothing because I can't give you rock from a turn up from a rock. So, but let's figure something out. And you keep attacking it little by little. And before you know it, you don't have to hide your phone anymore. You have to, you know, just, you know, you not be able to care who calls. You could pick up the phone. I said, God bless you, and let God deal with it. So sometimes, all times, when you become anxious about things or worry about things, it's good not to fret. It's good not to try to avoid it, but attack it head on. You might get fearful that, wow, it's going to overtake me. It's going to beat me up. It's going to take me out. But if God said in his word, no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against it, God shall condemn it, then, okay, it's going to hurt. Maybe. Not as much as I thought it was going to hurt. It's like going to the doctor and getting a needle as a child. You see this nurse or this doctor come with this big, long metal thing. It's about this long when you're a child. And it's about as big as your arm. And it's coming at you. And it pricks you. But if it's done correctly, it doesn't hurt after a while. It's like going to the dentist. First time you may go to the dentist, it's going to hurt. Especially if you haven't been in a while. But you have to keep going back. The more you avoid it, the more detrimental it'll cause you. For example, going to the dentist. If you don't go to the dentist after a while, you keep avoiding it. It leads to health issues. And your mouth goes, there's diseases and things like that. There's mouth issues and it attacks your insides. And all that could have been avoided by going to the dentist. So a lot of the problems, you don't have to medicate, but you can educate and go to God. He can help you through this. How do I do it? Pray. Lord, help me. Sometimes it does take going to counselors. Sometimes it does take going to therapists. I'm all for that. I've been. And I'm here now because of it. I'm here now because of it. I could have been dead. True statement. So don't fall for that cycle of anxiety. Stop the cycle right where it's in its track. Amen? So I'm confronted with a situation or anxiety, and now I know it's not a sin, but it's a signal for me to pray. And now I know that if I stop and pray, I'm actually stopping that anxiety cycle, that I'm not going to try to avoid and go delve into sin, go delve into more things that don't help me or don't put me along the path that God wants me to be along. I pray to God and he answers, or he may not answer, but I go to God and I put all of my cares on him, and God is able to take it off and able to bear it for me. God is just that good. So I said that before. Where am I? All right. So you got to realize that, as like I said from the beginning, this world is not all about you. It doesn't revolve around you. It revolves around God and what God has for you and what he wants to do through you. Sometimes through the anxiety that we go through. We learn more sometimes by the pain than we do the pleasure. So you got to realize that what you don't have, you don't always have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. Sometimes God doesn't want you to fight him. He wants you to fight with him and give it to him and give it to surrender to God, because you're trying to do things that you're not strong enough to handle. You're trying to fight battles that you're not supposed to be fighting. You're trying to take on things that are not for you to take on. You're trying to fight somebody else's battle, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not, physical things that you can see on this earth. But some of these things are spiritual. You need to take that to a spiritual God who can work out the spiritual situations that are going on in your life, and then can come and make yourself manifested through the carnal in our lives. And then we can live a happy life. We can live a whole life. We can get sleep. We can get rest. We can have peace. We can have joy. We can enjoy the fruits that God has provided us with. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Amen? So, all that I would say is, like, if we have Jesus in our heart, Jesus in our life, we have somebody, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We have somebody, a helper, that can help us through all of our anxious moments and all of our worries and all of our fears, so we can go to God in prayer. however you may feel, however you may need him. Sometimes you might take time out and have scheduled time for prayer, but sometimes you might come into an emergency and you need him right then or right there. He's there at all those times. And if you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus in your heart, now is the time, more than anything, to get to know him. He's here. He's waiting for you. He's there for you to help you through your anxious moments. He's there for you to let you know you don't have to go through this alone, this thing alone. You don't have to take this burden all alone, because I didn't have to take my cup alone, because I gave it to God and God helped me through. So God, I'm here to help you through your situations. All you need to do is accept Christ into your heart. Amen. I never like to end the service or in the sermon without giving somebody the opportunity to know Christ in their heart and to accept them into their life, because he is the one that can help us come out of our anxiety and help us overcome everything that's happening to us and happening around us and happening in us and inside our hearts and minds and blah, 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 blah. He can help us through all of that. I call it the ABC to salvation. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." The ABCs of salvation is very simple. A, to admit or acknowledge that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. B, we need to believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And C, you need to confess your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. ABC to salvation means to admit, acknowledge, you need to believe, you need to confess. Bow your heads. Repeat this prayer with me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen." Amen. And listen, I say this all the time. Pray that prayer with us. Or if you're looking for a family to believe with, or a family to connect with, or a church to connect with, we are growing. We are doing things. We are doing mighty good things. I need you to text the words "all in," A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831 3377. Again, text the word "all in," A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Thank you for joining with us. I love you all. God bless you.